This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. About to be joined by one of our favorite guests, the great John Machota of The Athletic, who is in the tent with Brian Broaddus out at Oxnard, California, as we are getting ready to depart from Oxnard. Brian's going to be flying back tomorrow, and then he will be back with us in studio on Thursday. We'll have our top 10 coming up on the other side, but right now, via the D&M Leasing Hotline, it is the great John Machota. John, how the hell are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm kind of want to get back home, but then I kind of don't want to leave this weather, so I'm torn right now.
Okay, so you are a little bit homesick, because Brian's like, nah, I could stay out there another month.
Yeah, you know, I think part of my decision on this is that I probably did the wrong thing by jumping in the car right after the game in Vegas and driving back. And so we probably didn't get back here at about 6 a.m. So I kind of was getting a little – my sinuses were starting to bother me a little bit, and now I'm starting to get a little sick. I think Vegas did that to me. So I think that factors in a little bit as well, that maybe it'd be better to go to sleep in my own bed, but – hey, here we are. This is the life that we chose, though, so we will march on.
There you go. I like that. I like to hear that a lot. I like to hear that.
We're marching on.
We're marching on. Hey, John, practice was out here behind us today. Had a chance to speak with Jerry Jones. Saw a couple of your tweets. One of them was about the CeeDee Lamb. What can you tell us from your time with Jerry out there in the CeeDee Lamb conversation?
Yeah, he says they're having good talks. Nothing definitive. Not that I would expect him to say anything to definitive, but it's one of those things where, you know, when Jerry talks, that's the number one thing he's going to be asked about is CeeDee Lamb, and number two is probably Dak Prescott's contract. And so, you know, he says, you know, that, you know, things are, I guess, progressing, but I don't know that that necessarily means anything. I felt all along that it just, the longer I've been out here, that they want to get it done before the regular season starts. Jerry has said as much. He doesn't really care to see CeeDee out there risking injury, playing in the preseason games. He doesn't mind him not doing that. I get the sense from CeeDee Lamb's social media posts that he would like to be with the team with a new contract. I ultimately still think he gets one done. There's nothing that really has changed my line of thinking. As many times as we've talked to Jerry out here, now we're going on 5 weeks of being out here, I still feel the same way that I did entering camp, where I don't think that they'll have a new deal done with Dak before the season starts, and I do think they'll have one done with CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, I mean, that I was going to pick your brain on the Dak deal, but I'm with you, man. I don't think Dak's getting done. I think CeeDee will get done. And if Dak doesn't get done before the season, how likely do you feel that that means that this might be his last season with the Cowboys?
I don't know if I'd say it's likely. I still think that the Cowboys have a decent chance to re-sign him. I just don't see them getting a deal done once the season starts. The Cowboys just generally, I can't think of the last time that they've signed a player to a contract extension mid-season like that, you know? So that's part of the thing where I'm like, for me on that contract, that really is that week one game in Cleveland is where I think it, you know, if there's nothing done by then I think he plays out the year. And depending on how the season finishes, then, you know, the two sides come back together and But I will say this. This is the most comfortable I've seen Dak in terms of the idea of, well, if it's not here, then you know what? Maybe it's out of my control, and I'll go play somewhere else, you know? As much as I think he would really prefer to play his entire career with the Dallas Cowboys, I think he's come to the realization that there's a possibility that that doesn't happen, that maybe he does end up finishing his career somewhere else, which, again, I don't think he wants that, but I think he's kind of at peace with that possibility.
John, do you think that maybe that the inner peace that he has is he doesn't want to deal with that national media anymore and the scrutiny that he gets as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys?
I don't think that is it. And the only reason I say that is because I've never been around anybody that handles it better than him.
Yeah.
Like, he is just fit for it.
Sure.
I would say, and this isn't anything I know from him or anybody around him. This is just my own opinion on what I've seen watching him as a player, you know, going into year 9 now. I will say that if they weren't to give him the offer that he wants, I think that would be a chip on his shoulder to be like, okay, you guys didn't want me? All right, we'll see.
Sure.
We'll see what let's see what I do in their team. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm worth that money. You guys don't think I am? That's fine. Somebody else will.
Yeah.
And we'll see. Let's see what happens if you guys think that. If you guys think that I'm the problem, if you guys think I'm the one that's keeping us from making runs in January, let's go ahead and see what happens there.
Yeah.
John Machado with us here on 105 through the Fan of the G-Bag Nation. Practice today. I know Brian was really having FOMO. He wasn't able to go out there and watch it. So what can you tell us? What went down at practice, John?
I'll say this. Judging by the way people are that I interact with on social media, they're going to be happy that there was a lot of Cooper Beebe at center, a lot of Tyler Guyton at left tackle with the ones. You know, it's been kind of interesting this practice. So I know, Brian, when you've been out there, you've seen it. Like, if an offensive lineman has like a false start or something, they'll pull him out.
Kick him out, yeah.
Dak threw a pick to Diggs, and he set out one rep. Rush came in, took one, and then Dak came right back in right after him. So I'm like, you can tell that they're trying to do this across the board. But I would say the number one thing that stood out to me is the deep ball connection with Dak and Jalen Brooks. It looked better than any other time we've seen so far in camp. And Brooks has speed, you know.
He
really showcased that today in practice, because obviously you don't have CeeDee Lamb out here, and then Brandon Cooks isn't out here today either. So, you know, you're seeing a lot more. It's the ones where, like, Jalen Brooks, Tolbert, and then a lot of Kevontae Turpin. And so that's the one that I will say from watching these camp practices, I thought we'd see a little bit more Turpin, but today there definitely was a lot more with Cooks not being out there. I would not sleep on Turpin having a bigger role than he had last year. I still think that there's a possibility for that to happen. Now, I don't know how you would use Cooks, Turpin, Deuce Vaughn, and a bunch of other smaller guys like that, but maybe that happens. I will say I haven't seen a lot of that out here. But, yeah, the Jalen Brooks deep ball thing was definitely clicking.
Let me ask you this, though. You mentioned about Vaughn. How do you have this – how you handicap in the running back situation here? Because I felt it's unfortunate for him that he got hurt, because there was some things that you and I saw in OTAs, and they were trying to do things with him, put him in the slot, out of the backfield, fourth down, throw him the ball, mojo moment, throw him the ball, you know, that kind of thing. Is there still enough time for him to make this team? Is he on the team in your roster, in your mind, or – how do you see this playing out for the running backs?
I will say, seeing him in Vegas, I just find it hard to believe that they're going to keep him off this team. I just think he brings some type of a juice that I don't know. I also think that there's a decent chance he get claimed by somebody else, where some of these other running backs on the roster might not.
Right.
And so maybe that's why they wouldn't risk it. But I'm glad you brought that up, because to me, I think that's the toughest. When, like, we sit down, we do our 53s, we pretend like we're Will McClay, but we really don't have any idea. But when we do that, for me,
neither did they. Don't worry about it, though. Yeah.
So running back's the toughest for me. But I bring this up because, so when we were just talking to Jerry out there, he was asked specifically what position groups are going to be the toughest to trim down. And he immediately named three. And he said wide receiver, tight end, and the secondary. And while, you know what it is, he probably thinks of those because there might be a little, there's more talent there in the running back room.
Sure.
For me, it's the running back room, because it's, you know what really threw me off is Steven mentioning the Royce Freeman.
Yeah.
About, you know, early in camp.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't mention that, I think I would be set on Hunter Lipke, Deuce Vaughn, Rico Dowdle, and Zeke would be the four.
That's okay. How I think it's going to play out. I kind of felt like that. To me, that Deuce Vaughn, if he didn't get hurt, then he would probably be on this team. Yeah. I don't know now, but you're right. They don't.
What about this thing, Brian? What about that thing right out there? All the logos, the stuff in the middle of the field. It's all got Deuce on there, like the official training camp logo. It's Deuce is the running back that's on the thing in the middle. Jerry's tower in the middle. So I keep joking around with people when we do our 53s. I'm like, I don't know, man. Deuce is the picture on the tower. I don't think they would do that if they were going to let him go.
Not going to cut Deuce. What about the Malik Davis
love? I really don't think they're going to do it. I really don't think they're going to let him go.
John, do you not? Is the Malik Davis love just fluff that they've been trying to throw out there to us?
Potentially. My thing is that, you know, with all these running backs, I find it hard to believe that you're not going to be able, like, let's say you lose a couple of them. I find it hard to believe you're not going to be able to find, let's say, if you lost them, another guy from another team that cut to 53 that you're just like, damn, we didn't think he was going to be available, you know, like, and so just because they don't have, like, the 16, 17, 18 Zeke or Pollard of the last couple of years, it's really more of a, you know, I would say as today, if you ask me, like, you know, my friends and family had asked me about fantasy, I think Rico Dowdle will be their top fantasy producer. Like, I think he'll have the most yards, rushing touchdowns and that. But if it also was somebody that's not on the team right now, I wouldn't be completely stunned because it is kind of just a wide open thing. And we just haven't seen a ton from Ezekiel Elliott to know if he, you know, where exactly where he is, you know. But for them not to even dress him against Las Vegas, I feel like they know where he is, and that's on the 53.
Let me ask you this. So Jerry mentioned the tight ends. Do you see it the same way? I'm kind of a Ferguson, Stevens, and Schoonmaker. And then Hunter Lipke, maybe my fourth tight end, depending on if you don't want to put him at running back. But hard cut there? Is Jerry kind of trying to bring Span Ford in here, who, you know, he gave $250,000 to on a guarantee? Yeah.
If it wasn't for that's the reason that I've had him on my 53s.
Yeah.
But if you go off of what we've seen so far, I don't think you'd have him. Think you'd have Brevin Span Ford ahead of Princeton Fant, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And so I think that is potentially a position where they only go three.
Yeah.
Thinking that, well, maybe we'll get Fant or Span Ford or Hendershot back because what are the odds that another team signs all three of those guys, you know?
Right.
So it would not surprise me, especially if you're going to keep three quarterbacks. Jerry said that Trey Lance is on the roster.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He said he wants to see more, but he said Lance is on the roster.
Sure.
So if you're keeping three quarterbacks, then you're going to have to go thin somewhere, and it might be tight end, which kind of shocks me because I think it's one of the better position groups on the team, but I could see them going three there.
What do you think the safety group looks like here?
See, I think that's easy. I just think you go four.
Yeah.
I think you go Wanye, you go Marquise Bell, Donovan Wilson, and Malik Hooker.
Yeah.
Why? Do you have anybody else jumping
no,
in?
No. I was just wondering, though, do you think it's a deep group, though? Do you like the guys
hold on,
Woods and others?
So I cover the Dallas Cowboys, and I will tell you, this is the deepest group by their standards. Honestly,
right.
It is the way the running back position is now, where you're
sure.
just like, all
Ooh.
Right, it's been devalued.
Yeah.
I like their safeties also because of the fact that I think McQuamu makes the team, and I think you can get some help there from him as well to play some safety slash corner.
Since you did this, handicap Booth, McQuamu, and Hall. Give me a 1-2-3 on that, because I think it's the last spot.
Okay, if I have to pick that right now, McQuamu is clearly my one.
Okay.
Man, that next one.
You haven't
if it's
seen
not that pick six, if not for that pick six, it would be easy for me. That pick six changed things here a little bit.
Yummy green.
North Texas kid, yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, I still.
So you haven't seen much of Booth, and I know it's unfortunate.
He got beat on the one,
and he almost got another one too that was over the top.
But,
yeah,
but he definitely fights, and he made some good plays after that. The way he bounced back from it, I kind of liked that one's. That one's more up in the air, but I think it only comes down to one of those three will make it, and I think it'll be McQuamu.
That's the thing about it is are three guys going for one spot?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. John, last thing before we let you out of here, man. Florida State, how your Noles looking for this year?
They're looking pretty good, not as good as last year. I think they're a playoff caliber type team, and I'm looking forward to their opening of the season in Ireland. So it's an early game, the same day that the Cowboys play on Saturday. So I got to get to the stadium early so I can watch that. But no, they'll be good. They're not going to be as good as they're not going to compete for a national title. But I'm looking forward to seeing DJ Uiagalelei. And
ooh, well done.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But nailed good it. Or bad, I'm just looking forward to they come to town and play SMU. So
pony
I'm looking
up.
Forward to going to that game, seeing how many Noles turn up for that.
Thank you, John. We appreciate you giving us some time, man. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
All right, boys, take it easy.
There he goes, John Machota, at John Machota. If you're not following him on Twitter, what are you doing? A great source for Cowboys Insider. All right, let's get into our top 10. It's National Radio Day. Top 10 sports announcers of all time. Who's your favorite? That's next in the nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
About to get into the top 10, and then, of course, we will do a little college football conversation. Why the hell not, as we are just days away. As we talked with John Machota there, in Ireland, this thing's going down. Florida State taking on Georgia Tech. Oh, my gosh, it's football season. This offseason did fly by, but how sweet it is. This is our time of year, Brian. This is what we live for. We love this very, very much. 877-881-1053. We will slide into the Woolly Bully Top 10 here as it's National Radio Day, baby. So who is your favorite sports announcer of all time? We'll get into the top 10 of that. But I did see just a quick update from Bruce Bochy. Tyler Malley apparently headed to the IL. He's got a shoulder stiffness issue that he's dealing with. John Gray will be recalled.
Yeah.
So insert Gray. Bad news for Malley.
Yeah.
He looked solid in a few starts. But I will say the last outing, not probably his best, and that makes sense now if he's dealing with some shoulder stiffness. Of course, he's coming off of that Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, well, that's the unfortunate thing, because we all kind of were waiting for him to – we were waiting for him all season long. It was, Malley, mm-hmm. Malley. And then finally, he gets the opportunity to pitch, and we were as you mentioned, though, there was some decent times, and then other times where you're just kind of like, okay, there's got to be something wrong here. And, clearly there was. And, and that's the hard thing. You know, these guys, they rehab really all year. They wait. They put in a lot of work. And then, some of them, it just never miss a beat and get back on the horse. Others, then, you just can't get up there and get it done because of complications and things like that. So that's really unfortunate for the Rangers and then for Malley for all the work that he's put into.
All right, let's do it. It's time for the Willie Billy Top 10 National Radio Day. Top 10 sports announcers of all time. Got to give love to our local guys. Of course, Brad and Babe here on your home of Dallas Cowboys football. The Hall of Famer, Eric Nadell. Matt Hicks. Hicksy's been fantastic. Some of the calls that he had during the Rangers World Series were incredible. I mean, can you take me higher? Yes, you can. That is a brilliant call right there. Of course, Jared doing a phenomenal job.
Yes.
Chuck Cooperstein.
Chuck Cooperstein's very good to listen to. Enjoy listening to Mavs basketball. I really do.
It's unbelievable how, to me, he just never stumbles over anything. And he just doesn't run out of breath. I mean,
these guys are pros. It's always funny because when he does the games with Brad Davis, I always find it hilarious. Because Brad Davis probably doesn't say two words. The whole, like, they'll be back and forth, up and down, and a good straight line drive there, Brad. You know, you might get that, and maybe it's something. You need to block out better there. You know, and that you might get just a little bit. Coop doing the games. I think the world of him. And I find myself a lot of times with, and I know that we're such a television-driven society, I find myself just really appreciating a good radio game. You know, what Eric and Matt and Jarrett and those guys do, or what Coop does, or hell, what even, you know, Brad, Sham, and Babe do. You know, it's a different appreciation of how they paint the game for you.
Yeah. No question. I mean, we're spoiled. I mean, I think Josh Bogorod does an excellent job with the Stars as well.
Yeah, he sure does.
And Razor.
Every Cowboys documentary or something like that, when they show highlights, it's always Brad Sham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, and all the highlight era was Brad Sham, basically. Yeah. So all you're hearing is just Brad Sham.
Growing up, it was, Brad, a big reason why I wanted to be a broadcaster. He was one of the ones that I looked up to. And Pat Summerall as a kid. I mean, growing up as a Cowboy fan, like, my conscious memory was late 90s. So it was, like, right after the Super Bowl glory days. But it still was, it seemed like Summerall and Madden were still given the Cowboys regularly.
Yeah, I can go way back.
Oh, yeah.
I go back to the 70s. I go a little back to Pat Summerall and Tom Brookshire.
Wow.
We're on the call for CBS. And so my love for the Cowboys was on CBS. And then on the radio, it was, you know, Frank Glieber, Vern Lundquist, Brad Sham. Yeah. I mean, we've had some legend. You know, I still to this day, some of the best SEC football games, Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson on the call. The kick six in the Alabama-Auburn game was one of the greatest calls. Go back in YouTube, Vern Lundquist's call of the Alabama, the missed field goal in the Alabama-Auburn game that won the game for Auburn.
That was a lot. Wait, do it again. I'll try to keep up with you, bro. What'd you say again?
Yeah, the kick six. Is what it was called.
Oh, yes, the kick six.
The kick six.
He crushed that. Yeah.
Alabama, Vern Lundquist, it was a game on CBS, and, you know, Nick Saban tries a field goal that's short, and now the ball's coming back. Vern Lundquist's call of that is unbelievable along the way. So if you ever have an opportunity, give that one a listen as well.
We, of course, Mark Folliwell as well. Like, I mean, getting texts in. I mean, a lot of texts for our local guys, Coop, Nadell. Bassick's getting some love here on the text. Chris Berman, Howard Cosell, Jack Buck getting love. Keith Jackson.
Keith Jackson, to me, I mean, if Keith Jackson isn't number one on this list, then I know they're going to be – these are all sports guys, right?
And all gals, sports guys.
All sports guys and gals.
I think you're going to be satisfied with who's number one, Brian.
Yeah, Keith Jackson is – That's who I grew up with, you know, with him and Bud Wilkerson, him and Frank Broyles, you know, then him later with Dan Fouts. He might have called the greatest college football game ever played, the USC Texas game at the Rose Bowl. His very last broadcast.
Corner, he's got it.
He's got it. Yeah, like that, you know. Keith Jackson is by far, I mean, when I think about SEC football, I think of Keith Jackson, even though he's done Michigan and Ohio State, Notre Dame.
Was Keith SEC before Vern then? Because I think Vern, but if Keith
Vern, CBS got the SEC package. But, man, back in the day when I was at LSU, ESPN was
Okay. You know,
Mike Patrick. It was Mike Patrick and Mike Godfrey, who was the the former coach at Pitt. And then, in matter of fact, Chris Fowler was a sideline reporter. So you used to have the SEC kind of those big games. Ron Franklin was another one. Ron Franklin was a guy from the waybacks that did SEC football. But then CBS got it, and Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson took it over. And man, it's incredible the run that CBS. And I think CBS just lost the rights to ESPN. So now I think CBS has got the Big Ten. And that's a shame, because that crew was
they did such a great job.
They
Gary
do a
Danielson
great job. Yeah.
And
it was kind of like Tracy Wolfson. We used to interview. Yep. You know, we interviewed Tracy Wolfson for pregame show stuff, and she's the nicest gal in the world. And man, I when I think of SEC football, I think of Tracy Wolfson standing down there in the middle of all that. You know, great games.
Yeah, Brad Nessler getting texting.
Brad Nessler's good.
Okay,
LA, I think I got your Vern joint.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay, let's go.
I hope this is the one you were talking about, B. Let's see.
Mandel will hold it. Now they've officially made it.
You got it.
57 nice. Yards. Number 8 blocked kick can go the other way, too. He's got to be careful and get it up. On the way. No, returned by Chris Davis. Davis goes left. Davis gets a block. Davis has another block. Chris Davis. No flags. Touchdown. Auburn. An answered prayer.
Amazing. And that's how you do it, too. Then he sits out. And he lets it breathe.
It lets it breathe.
You know, that's.
But he, to me, those are the. I mean, I got chills just listening to that, because he's, you know, there's been these just great plays in the history, and a lot of them, and I'm sure we could go back and do, you know, like Dick Enberg with NCAA basketball and stuff like that, where, you know, shots made and stuff like that. Well, the Christian Laettner shot in Philadelphia that got, you know, that whole thing. I mean, there's some tremendous calls, but the really good ones, they describe it, what happened, and then just they let it breathe, like you said at the end. Man, that was great. Appreciate you doing that, Lucius.
All right, so LA, National Radio Day. Anybody that you just want to give love to? I mean, you're a radio lifer. I mean, your knowledge when it comes to this, I mean, I'm always learning something new from you. So,
shoot, I like Teddy Atlas when it comes to boxing, bro.
Teddy Atlas is excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Like Teddy Atlas, because he'll damn near cry over
it. He will.
He's always picked something to fouls a foot. Yeah, I like old Teddy Atlas. I like Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson on a Sunday afternoon.
Yep.
I miss them.
Yeah, that's my vibes. What else? Gus Johnson.
Dude, I love Gus, too.
Gus Johnson. Yeah. I he might get annoying, but
I like him. I like the
Gus
energy.
Johnson on a Saturday. Don't let the game be a little too early, because his excitement will make me want to drink more.
Yeah, he does a lot of the 11 a.m. too on Fox. Yeah. And it's like, let's get you in the afternoon or primetime slot there, Gus.
Well, he's a big noon kickoff guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they're screwing him with that, man.
Yeah, he needs that 3:30 game.
Yeah. But Gus,
he gets excited. Oh, it's a fumble. I'm like, man, I got to keep up with Gus. Let me get a little tequila in my system. Damn.
Gus makes a run of 4 sound like it was a game changing play.
But I like him, man.
Yeah, Gus is good.
You hear the love and the excitement and the joy.
Joel Klatt with him is good, too, now.
I think they're a great pairing.
Joel Klatt is good, too, yeah.
And I hear you, 817, on National Radio Day. Shout out to the great Randy Galloway.
Yeah.
Grew up listening to some GAC, no doubt. There's a lot of great radio legends around
here. Gave
me
my start.
As well. Yeah. I mean, shout out to Chris Arnold, three-time Hall of Famer.
Three-time.
I mean, he was a legend as well, and it still is. Honorable mentions we've got here, best sports announcers. We do have Dick Enberg. You mentioned him.
Dick Enberg on NBC. Called a lot of big games in his day.
Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker, like when I lived in Wisconsin, Bob Uecker used to call the Brewer games by himself. He would he'd lay out for 30 seconds. You could hear the hot dog vendors and all that, the beer guy, and then he'd come back and tell you the pitch. Bob Uecker was like your friend in the booth.
Harry Carey's getting love.
Harry Carey, man. KMOX Radio in St. Louis. Him and Jack Buck. And then later, it was Jack Buck and Mike Shannon that got that, did that call. So, yeah, that KMOX Radio in St. Louis, they've had some legendary broadcasters.
Costas and Brent Musburger are honorable mentions.
Brent Musburger on the him and Jimmy the Greek Snyder, Irv Cross, Phyllis George. That was the pregame show Phyllis before George. The pregame show. Phyllis George, yeah.
Phyllis, that's our girl.
He's
in the box.
Yeah.
That's Phyllis. Harry Callis.
And what was the other kid on there, Broadus? Was the other dude on there?
It was Jimmy the Greek Snyder.
That's my guy right there.
Jimmy the Greek, yeah. He got fired for saying, like, questionable
stuff.
They
jump high because they got that high thigh bone
exactly.
Right there.
Exactly.
High thigh bone, big calf muscles.
He's like, we made him. Yeah, he was very much the, you know, like, Musburger. They had this board with, like, how, you know, the Cowboys and the Rams. And they had all these categories. And the last one was intangibles. And that's where you got the... That's where you got the description of the players, and that's where Jimmy gave you the descriptions. Yeah, get in trouble a little bit with Jimmy.
Yeah,
man, here's your top 10.
He's got the Alabama physique there.
Yeah, he looks like a guy that, you know, he's
very descriptive.
I didn't even want to go there,
be careful,
man. I almost said it. Yeah.
10 is Marv Albert.
Oh, Marv Albert's good.
Oh, yeah, like Marv Albert.
Marv Albert's good.
Yeah, I mean, that voice, so deep.
Good in football, too. He was good in football.
Face rolls!
Yeah.
Kurt Gowdy comes in at number 9.
Okay, Kurt Gowdy was from my era, and he was the Mike Tirico of the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Just doing everything.
Every sport. It didn't matter. It was archery, water polo, NFL championship football. Kurt Gowdy was on the call. He was the Mike Tirico of the 60s and 70s.
Jack Buck. Jim Nantz.
Him and Hank Schramm on radio were really good, too. Monday Night Football.
Six, we got Pat Summerall.
Who was number five?
Seven was Jim Nantz. Six was Pat Summerall.
Jim Nantz. I like me some Jim Nantz.
He didn't make it.
Exactly right.
Less is more with Pat.
Yeah.
Touchdown, yeah. Emmitt Smith.
Oh, no. Touchdown, Cowboys. Yep. You know, yeah.
Doc Emrick.
Hockey.
Dude, he was so
hockey
good.
Doc
was so good.
Yeah.
Howard Cosell at 4.
Okay, from my era, Monday Night Football. Him, Don Meredith, and Frank Gifford. And yeah, Luce, you should
Turn
talk about
off
a.
The lights.
Yeah.
The party's over.
Luce, you should talk about a boxing announcer.
Yeah.
Howard Cosell.
Yeah,
All the respect.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, all those guys.
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Top 3, we got Al Michaels at 3.
He's called some of the great ones.
Vin Scully at 2.
Good one.
And number 1 is Keith Jackson.
There you go. It's the Michigan Wolverines of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Hello, everybody. I'm Keith Jackson.
Is Keith Jackson the same guy from the Football Follies?
No, I think that's Harry Callis. That was Harry Callis.
Harry Callis was honorable mention.
Harry Callis was NFL Films. John Facenda is the voice of NFL Films.
Yes.
The Oakland Raiders are the toughest team. And, you know, he's that guy. But Harry Callis was Football Follies. He was a broadcaster for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh.
He was a Philadelphia broadcaster, is who Harry Callis was. He's good. Really good.
All right, let's do some college football.
This is the best list you've ever done.
It was fun. I mean, I was like national radio.
You got me excited here.
I know. I love this. And you guys helped me crush this one. This was a blast. Okay, Fansville. We had a new quarterback in Baylor. Some of the mouth-watering games in the college football season. That's next on the Fan. Let's get some college football in, shall we, as Baylor's got themselves a new starting quarterback. We got college football Carter Freeman joining us in the studio. What's going on, Carter? And we'll get into the NFL on the other side. But, hey, Baylor, Bears fans out there, they've named Toledo transfer Daquan Finn as their starting quarterback. He was the MAC MVP for Toledo last season. He was competing against Sawyer Robertson for that starting job. But Dave Aranda saying he is going to go ahead and name the Toledo transfer Daquan Finn as the guy for the Baylor Bears as they look to try and have a bounce back season. They'll open up August 31st against Tarleton State. So shout out to you know, Daquan Finn, big-time transfer guy. I mean, we were talking about him off-air. Pretty good career there at Toledo.
Yeah, well, we say 22-9 touchdown interception ratio last year in the MAC. They lost the MAC championship game, but they won the year before with him starting as well, I believe. So he's an exciting player, and Baylor needs that because the last year was an ugly, ugly season in Waco.
Yeah, Dave Aranda's on the hot seat there. After taking his team to the Sugar Bowl, there's been a couple of years where they have not been very good.
Not
so he's got to find a way to get more offense involved. And, man, they had some bad early season losses last year.
Texas State, yeah.
Texas State's not a bad program.
No.
Texas State's got – their coach is one of those guys that when you start to talk about – coaches that can make the bounce to another level.
G.J. Kinney, I think is his name.
Yeah, he's always mentioned as one of these guys.
And then Texas transfer, went to Duke, Malik Murphy. He's going to be the starting quarterback there for the Duke Blue Devils. So Murphy, of course, saw the writing on the wall. He's like, okay, Arch Manning's going to be the backup here for Quinn. I'm going to go leave. So, I'm happy for Malik Murphy. The dude's got a lot of talent.
This guy's a really good athlete, right?
Really
Isn't he
good
like
athlete.
A guy that just kind of just does a lot of things? I mean, you maybe play him in another position, but is he that good of a quarterback, Carter?
He won both his games that he started last year when Quinn Ewers was hurt. But, I mean, he showed some freshman lumps as his first time playing in major games. But like y'all are saying, I mean, he's as physically gifted. And that was the hype on him when he was coming into Texas was this is kids as physically gifted as pretty much anyone in his class. So, I mean, just as far as Duke quarterbacks go, like he's going to be probably the most talented player at that position they've ever had. So it's probably good for like a win somewhere in the ACC.
Yeah, Riley Leonard now Notre Dame. So, I mean, Malik Murphy, he can sling it, dude. Dude's got a cannon for an arm. So I'm excited to see what he can do there for Duke. You guys like the Fansville commercials with Dr. Pepper?
I love them.
You know it's
yeah.
back.
They're
How so
do you not
good.
Love them? Yeah.
They're
I love
so
when they're
good.
Like the thing when the guy, there was the transfer portal and they were getting sucked into it. And they were thinking he was hanging on and he
I
let the guy
give up
go.
My Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I love that.
Caleb Williams jumped in and he was part of Fansville as last year.
He was.
It is Quinn Ewers who is going to be the Fansville player.
He's kind of perfect for that, isn't he?
He's got to be making some money. Quinn Ewers is deputy. He's guest starring in a few of these. So you'll get to see him from the University of Texas. Does that make your Boomer Sooner blood boil a little
bit?
That's
kind of fun because the sheriff in all these commercials is Brian Bosworth from OU.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll have some fun jokes, you know, OU Texas involved there.
I tell you what, you want to know my favorite commercials involving quarterbacks and athletes and stuff?
Uh-huh.
Heisman House.
Heisman House is great.
I like the fact that they incorporate the dudes like from the 70s. And like the one time they did Paul Hornung, they left him in the garage. He won the thing in 56. And he's sitting there like, and they open up like, what's this? And they open it up. He's like sitting there like, hey, guys. You know, and it's like, whoa, we didn't even know you were here. And you know, but I like what they do with Heisman House. I think it's really, really entertaining.
I'm with you.
And they have to bring back Reggie Bush this season, right? Since
he's
officially got his Heisman back.
Yes.
I need a Heisman House with Reggie Bush in it.
We got to get Reggie. They should do a whole commercial just about that. Like Reggie's moving his stuff
back. He's just like up in the attic the entire time or something.
Yeah, you could do a fun bit with that, 100%. Now, I might be new to this, but I did learn something today.
But you're true to this.
True to this.
I didn't realize we had GMs in college football.
It's kind of a new thing.
Yeah. Apparently, Alabama has agreed to a record deal
$875,000.
Crazy. Courtney Morgan. Now, Courtney Morgan's come over from Washington with Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah.
So these two are tied together. But he earned $500,000 in his initial contract with Alabama that he finalized in February. They've upped it now to $125,000 under a 3-year deal. But I didn't know we had GMs in college football.
I mean, there's a lot of roster management you're kind of doing now with the players getting paid. It's a lot more like a standard NFL sort of roster, how you're distributing these things. So you need a smart mind to make sure the money's going to the right place and you're not sinking it into one spot too much. So it's just another part of the revolving, changing world of college athletics.
Former Dallas Cowboys national scout, Drew Fabianich, who was here with the Cowboys for – Drew came in 1999 when I came with the Cowboys, and I think he's now 2 years removed. Or 3 years removed. He is the general manager of the West Virginia Mountaineers.
Wow.
So you're getting a lot of these guys. You're getting guys that were former scouts or player personnel guys when it comes to, You know, because it's you really are now with the free, it's free agency. The transfer portal is free agency. So you got to find ways to help your coaches build teams. It's not just about the money. It's just about how you're going to cover yourself at certain positions, and how do you use your scholarships. So yeah, Drew's doing a good job there at West Virginia.
And some coaches, like we saw with Chip Kelly at USC, like he didn't want to be a head coach because he didn't want to manage all this stuff. Well,
right.
A guy like a general manager of these programs, they can take more of that load off of a coach, right? So they
good
can
point.
Maybe, and coaches are still going to be involved in the roster adding process, but maybe some of these guys will take some of that load off of them so they can stay more focused on just the football.
Now, Carter, don't be upset, but the Morning News put out some of their favorite matchups for the upcoming college football season. Oklahoma was not mentioned in any of these, but Oklahoma does have some outstanding matchups, of course.
We do.
Texas,
what
OU.
What happens when you're OU Texas? The winner of that game gets to go first.
Okay, fair enough. And OU's the reigning winner of that, so OU Texas. September 7th, number 4, Texas, going to the Big House against number 9, Michigan. We've got September 21st, Utah at Oklahoma State.
That'll be their first big test, the Utes, in their first year in the Big 12.
Could be an early Big 12 championship preview. Georgia, Alabama, September 28th. I mean, that's already first.
Where's that game being played?
That's going to be in Tuscaloosa.
Tuscaloosa, yeah.
Jeez. Wow.
Ohio State, Oregon. Right now, that's number 2 versus number 3, October 12th.
That game's in Eugene, right?
In Eugene.
That's going to be so much fun.
That's awesome, yeah.
Georgia, Texas, October 19th. That's a top 4 matchup as of right now.
Does they play Georgia after they play Texas plays Oklahoma?
They're back-to-back weeks.
Oh, wow.
Texas has a tough stretch, man. Michigan, Oklahoma, Georgia. Wow. That's all in their first 6 games.
Go look at Florida's schedule and tell me about that one,
and
too.
Florida's going to struggle this
year. They play the most preseason-ranked AP teams, and I think they end the season playing 5 straight top 12 teams currently.
It's crazy.
That's ugly.
Gosh, there's so much more college football to get into. We can carry over and have more of this conversation. Thank you very much, Carter. We love you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, let's do football's finest dueling top 5 QB rankings. And who's the biggest X factor for your Dallas Cowboys? That's next in the Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
Or trap pick number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.